We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our church is located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway, and our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6 p.m., and Wednesday at 7. We would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Brother Oscar McCamus.
Here in 1 Corinthians, chapter 15 and verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? I want to talk about there in that 35th verse. I want to talk about the resurrection body. Now, if you're here this morning and you're young and you don't have a pain in your body and you're healthy and strong and all those kind of things, this message may not mean as much to you as it does to some of us that are up in years and the body is beginning to fail and the pain is beginning to be continuous and the mind is beginning to get dull and a lot of these things that are results of age. Then I think we are very, very interested in what this has to say here this morning. This glorious fact that the Lord Jesus came from the grave, complete victor over death. The Bible says the first fruits of them that slept, he could say, as was recorded, he alone. He's the only one that could say this. Here in Revelation 1, chapter 7, or chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, it says, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. And so because Jesus arose, we as believers, we have the assurance of our own resurrection. Some golden daybreak. Look what verse 22 and verse 23 says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Now the very cornerstone of our faith is the doctrine of resurrection. That's the very cornerstone. And so not only that, our present faith and our future hope is based upon this blessed fact. Indeed, if Christ be not raised from the dead, then our faith this morning is in vain. And so, and the Bible says that we are yet in our sins. And so to lose faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus is to cut the very heart out of the Bible. And not only to do that, but to dig up the very foundation from our spiritual houses. Our faith and our hope are founded upon the truth of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's many questions that comes into mind about the resurrection. Now, to many of those questions, we have the answer to those questions here in the Word of God. And others questions that we have, we can't find the answer in the Bible, and we'll just have to wait until that resurrection morning to be settled. But may I first of all, here this morning, establish the fact of a literal bodily resurrection. And so there's many false ideals out there concerning our future life. And maybe let me just mention just a few of them this morning, of ideals that people has concerning our future life after we die. First, there's the false hope of reincarnation. In other words, there's people out there that believe that the future life is in a reincarnated state. In other words, they say one may again live as an animal or some other form of life. Now that's what they say, and basically this is the doctrine of the Hinduism. That's what the Hindus, and that's what they believe, and it's a false, and it's ridiculous. ridiculous and it's foolish, but it's not. There's not one single Bible verse to substantiate what they believe. And then there's those who believe only in a spiritual resurrection. There's only that is that the body will never come forth again from the grave. And to believe this is to deny that man is made in the very image of God. Because we all believe and we teach, like God, man is a trinity. We're body, soul, and spirit. Just like God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so if the body is never redeemed, then the image of God is destroyed. Because man is no longer a trinity. If the body does not raise. And so here I contend that salvation includes not only redemption of my soul and redemption of my spirit, but also redemption of this mortal body that I live in. And it will become, as the Word of God says, it will become immortal. Then there's two, those who deny any suggestion of a resurrection. There are some says that when death comes, that's the end. That's the end of it. There is no resurrection. And Paul faced this false doctrine in Corinth. He wrote in verse 12 and verse 13, and if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Now the Sadducees, they were the main ones of this idea. And somebody said that's why they were named Sadducee. Because if you don't have no belief in the faith in the resurrection, you're a very sad person. And so that is what they were. And so they flatly denied the form of resurrection. Fruitless and hopeless indeed is such a doctrine that denies the resurrection of the dead. The fact of the literal bodily resurrection is set forth by the resurrection of our Lord on the third day. Now look in verse 3 and 4. It said, for I delivered, the Apostle Paul said, for I delivered first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There's a clear statement as to the resurrection. To believe the Bible is to believe the clear statement here. And to disregard this statement of the fact concerning the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is to disregard the whole canon of inspired Scripture. Now also the resurrection was witnessed by many. Look in verse 5 through 8. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James and of the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born of due time, the Apostle Paul speaking. There is the inspired historical record of the literal resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first fruits of them that slept. Look what Matthew 27, verse 51 through verse 53 said. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rend. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and come up out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now here again is the inspired record of the resurrection. The Bible says many saints after the resurrection of Jesus, and this miracle cannot be successfully set aside. It's a matter of history. It's a matter of a fact that's recorded in the blessed Word of God. And so this is a preview when those previous saints got up and walked into the city of Jerusalem. This is a preview of a greater event when the Lord Jesus came back in the clouds to get his church, and the entire body of Christ will be lifted up from the grave. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And so in the earnest believer, the fact of the resurrection is very plain. To you that it has become our glorious hope. That is my hope this morning, that there is a life better than this life after this life is over. Because I am smart enough to know that that death is coming, that this life is going to end someday. Until they're pointed unto man wants to die. And after this, the judgment. And so it's establishing a factor to encourage us to press on in this journey. Not only that, when the hour comes, and to some of you good people and to me also, that hour has already come when we stood by the open grave of one of the people that has been the dearest to us and they've been part of our own flesh. And we have seen our own children and grandchildren, and we've seen our husband, our spouses. We've seen them be placed down in that earth. And that is when we can, in the Holy Spirit power, lay hold of the promise of the Word of God recorded in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that said, we sorrow not even as others which have no hope. When you take that precious loved one out there and they are saved and they left the testimony behind that they knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, you don't have to walk away from that grave sorrowful. You don't have to walk away as the heathens or the unbelievers does without any hope. But you can walk away with a hope, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. No fact of life will so help us then when we stand by the graveside of a loved one. There's not anything in life that will bless us and help us any more than the glorious hope that we have of a resurrection day. The hope of the resurrection softens the sting of death. How many have I heard in here that have faced death and they said, I don't know how I could have made it without the Lord. But we know today that the hope of the resurrection, it softens. Nothing takes the hurt completely away, but it softens the sting of death. Not only that, but the hope of the resurrection, it lightens the shadow in the valley of death. Also, it gladdens the bereaved hearts that the hope of a reunion. I'm glad that Christians never says goodbye for the last time. I'm glad that there's always another meeting place for the children of God. We may say goodbye here for just a short time, but Jesus said, I go, and where I go, there you can be also. We know there is a reunion, not only that, but it strengthens a pilgrim in the sad hour of separation. Now let's come to the heart of this message. What is the text verse that I read? I want to talk about the heart. What will the resurrection body be like? What kind of a body are we going to have in the resurrection? There are some very clear things set forth in the Scriptures which will answer this question. I find seven such statements right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let us know that whatever this record says, it's clear, it's settled, it's established, and that's the way it's going to be. The first thing I want you to see is what kind of a body, they said, will the resurrection body be? The first thing in the resurrected body is to be celestial. Now look what verse 40 says. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial one is, and the glory of the terrestrial one is. Now, there's two, right here we see there's two different bodies. There's the celestial bodies. What does celestial body mean? It means heavenly body. There's a heavenly body, and then there's the terrestrial body. What is the terrestrial body? It's an earthly body. Our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, and we all know in Bethlehem's manger, and he took a terrestrial body. He took upon himself a terrestrial body, an earthly body. After that he had made satisfaction, after that he had paid sin's debt on the cross of Calvary and there died for our sin, he came forth in a resurrection in a celestial body. In other words, and that body, that celestial body, is the body that the Lord Jesus ascended through the heavens into the very presence of God, and he's there right now to make intercessions for you and me. And so his celestial body is the pattern of what ours will be. We shall have bodies in the resurrection that are not subject to the laws that controls us now. And so here the celestial body is necessary in order to go into or to fit into the plan of eternal things. In other words, it's eternal. That body that we're going to receive, that resurrection body, is a heavenly body, a celestial body that is eternal. It's like the angels. It does not reproduce like the human body does. The body never grows old or becomes sick. How about that? This body that we're going to get never grows old. He'll never be sick. This celestial body can endure the glory of the shining throne of the Almighty God. The body will not be controlled by the laws which govern the physical, the terrestrial body. The laws of space and the laws of time and the laws of gravity will lose their power over the resurrected celestial body. This body can be transplanted just as rapidly as a mental thought can be transplanted. The glorified saint can enter through closed doors, as did Jesus following his resurrection. The Bible says that Jesus entered into their midst and the doors behind closed doors. And so, though celestial, it is yet nonetheless physical and literal. Jesus could be seen. They could see Jesus in his resurrected body. Jesus could be heard. Jesus could be felt. They touched him. He said to Thomas, reach forth your hand and place them in the prints of my scars. Not only that, but that celestial body can enjoy food. It can enjoy fellowship. And so the spirit is eternal and will never become corruptible. Look what Romans 8:11 said. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead shall dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. It shall be the life-giving and the life-sustaining power of the spirit which shall dwell in these celestial bodies. The second thing is, what kind of a body will this be? The resurrected body will be incorruptible. Look what it says in verse 42. So also the resurrection of the dead, it is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. To most of us, it's very difficult to comprehend anything that is incorruptible. Our minds is so regulated by this corruptible world that it becomes hard for us to think of anything that is eternally incorruptible. Because on every hand we faced with corruption or with its decay. In other words, the very earth must be constantly tilled, lest it become corrupt before our eyes. Great and beautiful buildings that are built must be repaired by the skilled hands of the carpenters or the laborers or the workers or the skilled people, or they will disintegrate and become corrupted by the hand of time. Even these bodies that we live in, these terrestrial bodies that you and I live in, must be mended by the doctors and the surgeons, lest diseases cause us to become corrupted. And man in life is pitched against the forces of corruption. There's no peace treaty in this battle. I wish there was. I wish we could sign something to say, no longer disease attack this body. No longer pain will attack this body. No longer pain are those things, weaknesses and frailty will tank. But there's no peace treaties for those things. And so the battles are on and on from the cradle to the grave. From the time we're born until we die, the battle wages. And so in the natural man, it seems that the force of corruption shall win the battle. Yes, soon our mighty fortress fall to the relentless pressure of the charging army. To us that are in the faith, there's hope that the general of this army of corruption, who is the general of this army of corruption, is death, will be destroyed. When the last enemy, death, is put eternally down, then corruption shall give way to incorruption. And what a blessed hope that is. Look in verse 25 and verse 26. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall be destroyed is death. The resurrected body will know no sickness. There's some of you folks in here, you don't hardly know a day without sickness. You don't hardly know a day without pain. You've fought, and you've been to doctor after doctors, and you've done all these things, and it's just a continual process. But with the corrupt, with the incorruptible body, there'll be no sicknesses. There'll be no sicknesses ever. There'll be no more cancer. Everybody you know, they either have somebody in their family or somebody they know that is battling cancer. What a terrible, terrible disease. But I'm glad to tell you that the cancer will never attack these incorruptible bodies that we'll have. Old age will be forever past. Won't be nobody hobbling around, old age, feeble and staggering, all those kind of things. The halt and the blind and the feeble will be seen no more. The heart of time. And we know that time pinches our face and causes the wrinkles to appear over the years. And that's happened to many of us here, but the change to incorruption will iron out all the wrinkles. And so corruption soon steals from us the strength of youth. And we all can assess it, or we got some years on us, we can testify to that. That age has taken away the strength that we had when we were young. But blessed be the fact that the strength of the incorruptible body can never be taken away from us. How about that? Listen, then the third thing, the resurrected body is to be a body of glory. Look in verse 43, it's sown in dishonor, but it's raised in glory. Though our soul and spirit are saved, yet this terrestrial body is a body of dishonor. Do you understand what I'm saying? That this body that we live in right now, even though our soul is saved, this is a body of dishonor. We dare not trust in. Day by day we struggle to bring this body into subjection. I don't know whether you do or not, but I do. Every day of my life I have a hard time, and I have to struggle to try to bring this body into subjection. Not only that, we're called upon to die daily. The flesh is bent to sin and ponder to wander away from God and prone to wander away from God. The terrestrial body is one of dishonor, in that Satan works through it to wreck the joy and the testimony of the saint. That's what the devil does. He works through this terrestrial body to rob you of your joy and to destroy your testimony. And so I was saying too, and I used to say this a long time ago, I used to say one of the most important things that you have as a Christian is your testimony. You need to protect it with all you can, because once you've lost your testimony, God will forgive you if you'll come and repent of it and ask God to forgive you no matter what you've done. Your testimony can be destroyed with some people, and you'll never get it back again. It's so important that you protect it. The devil tries to destroy your testimony through this terrestrial body. It's a body of dishonor, that it has a capacity to commit sin. This body is not perfect. God, evil is yet within us, as Paul warned in chapter 7 of the book of Romans. It's a body of dishonor. His terrestrial body seeks to dishonor God with all its evil bent. Left alone, the natural body will soon sink into unthinkable sins. Have you ever imagined some of the sins that we hear that's recorded on television that people have done? Did you ever think that the human body could ever think, ever sink to that lowness, that they could do things that horrible? And so we see here that such sin brings low into shame him who is altogether lovely. That's what we do. We bring shame upon reproach upon the name of Jesus. God help us to learn to place no confidence in the flesh. Great is the consolation, however, that the resurrected body will be a body of glory. It'll be a glorious body in its image. It'll be fashioned like unto the glorious resurrected body of the Lord Jesus. Look in verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly. Beloved, 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. To be like Jesus, will be a greater glory than any of us ever experienced before. The resurrected body will be glorious in its new associations. The new celestial body is to be transplanted from the lowland of sorrow into the very glory of the very presence of Almighty God. We are to enjoy the very presence of our Heavenly Fathers. Angels are to be our constant companions in a personal manner. The saints of all ages will be our new associates. We'll sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and the Apostle Paul, Elijah, Daniel, and all the great men of God. It'll be a glorious body because of its new home. We're to move away to heaven. With a redeemed or live in a mansion in a city of gold, the Bible says, John saw. We're to walk with this resurrected body on the streets of gold. Ours shall be a glory of entering through the gates of pearl. Only a body changed from dishonor to glory could endure the heavenly power. In other words, Moses' face reflected God's glory. One day our resurrected body will absorb God's glory. Look in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, or we'll not all die, but we'll all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall raised incorruptible, and you shall be changed. For the corruptible must put on incorruption, and his mortal must put on immortality. The robe of flesh will be dropped. We'll drop this robe of flesh one day, and we are then to be clothed upon with our new bodies. This new body is one of glory. The fourth thing, the resurrected body is the one of power. Look in verse 43. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. None could not deny the weakness of this present terrestrial body. Its weakness is evidence in diseases and in the toll of years takes upon our bodies. The steps become faltering and the mind becomes dulled. Were it not for the divine healing power of God, the least sickness would become fatal. If it wasn't for the healing power of God, just a simple headache would take your life. How fragile these bodies are.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church, or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.